This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. Unoya is a startup based in KL, a startup where they built a platform called RECA, RECQA, which stands for Recorded Question and Answer, which is a ready to use platform for knowledge sharing, and users can easily upload their learnings in terms of web links, video, documents, images, and share these with other team members. So all contents are easily structured by predefined categories and subcategories, which can be saved, shared, reviewed, and rated by others. So this allows time saving and searching retrieval knowledge for later. And on RECA, members are also able to connect with subject matter experts to ask questions and to seek membership. So I'm very excited about what this can do. I'm here with co-founders Mazlita Mahasan and Sean Tay. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Frida.
Good morning, Frida.
I've got to ask this question now. How did you guys come up with this brainchild? Now, who wants to answer this first?
Maz.
All right. The idea of RECA, like you said, stands for Recorded Question and Answer. But it's also, when you said it, like, it sounds a bit like Malay word RECA, which is to create. So it's like having your own space of knowledge sharing. Okay. So the idea came actually a couple of years ago after I exited my first startup, Resite. So I don't know what's with the R. Somehow it's just, you know, continues. I was having a lot of requests at that time for people wanting to connect with the experts, because the previous startup is about connecting with the Akwan teachers, which are also experts. Yeah. So it also translates to what the problem that me and Sean have, because we are being best friends. We share a lot of knowledge between us. We always share our knowledge in, you know, like even like you probably doing the same thing in WhatsApp, in Telegram, wherever articles that interesting articles, right? You just, hey, you know, check this out, check this tech talk videos and whatnot. Sometimes we email. So the thing is, it's hard. Like, after a while, you have got so many knowledge from various groups. Like I'm in the startup, in the entrepreneur group, technopreneur group. And you kind of like become a bit, how to say?
More overload.
Yeah. Overwhelmed with all this knowledge, right? And then sometimes like me and Shah were like, hey, remember that day you shared me this article where I cannot find. So that's how the whole thing, like we always say, best if we have a place where we put all our knowledge there and it's easy for us to retrieve later. And I said, wow, that's a good idea in that sense, like at that time. Yeah. And then going back to the problem or the request that I had from my previous user was saying that, like, oh, it's also good if they can also connect with the experts within the community. So like me and Sean, it's like, in a way, it's a community of us. What if we can add more people to that community? Because these are the like-minded people, right? Like if you're into fitness, obviously you have a group, like a WhatsApp group talking about fitness or a Facebook group. But again, there's no structure in all these tools. That's when we feel that, okay, maybe we should just build something where we can structure this knowledge. If it's, you know, it's something that we need, and then I ask, of course, you know, being a entrepreneur or technopreneur, you have to validate the idea, right? So we asked a couple of people and then everybody said the same thing. Betul lah, like, so hard to find back all this knowledge. It's like sometimes I email things to myself, hoping that one day I'll go back to it, right? Frida, you said
they're all in my draft.
Yeah. Exactly. It's only your draft, right? So for me, it's all those knowledge sitting there in various media. Why can't we centralize them to make it easy?
And add to that, it's also because me and Maz belong to many different groups as well. Right. And we are getting knowledge very specific to those groups. Like Maz is part of a startup group and I'm part of a very technical group as well. And sometimes there are very common knowledge that we need to share with each other. So sometimes when we want to say, like, you know, Maz, I came across a very interesting article and say, did I share it with you? Then she says, no. I said, what's it about? Then we'll try to sort through all those groups. And say, it's like, it was mentioned somewhere.
Yeah. Right. So having RECA makes it easy because because the knowledge is structured, when it's structured, it makes it easy for you to search and retrieve it later. So it saves you time. So it's all about that. Like, you know, having centralized all this knowledge that you have in various groups, in various medium, storage medium, and put it in one place where you can just go anytime you want to refer back to the knowledge.
Okay, so then my next question is, seeing that this is open for business, how do you monetize something like this? Like, where is the money? That's business model.
Okay, all right. So maybe we should start with, of course, anything has to do with monetization, right?
Yeah.
So when we first started, actually, the idea, and this is also the story, when I had the idea beforehand, like a couple of years ago, and Sean has always been someone who wants to build something. And I keep telling him, because he has another business where he's a business, a Google Premier partner. And I said, look, Sean, it's not easy to build something. You know, like it's not as you get a product from somebody you sell. It's different. So I was actually trying to discourage him. But he, like, relentlessly pursue me in the sense, hey, you know, we need to do this, you know, it's such a good idea, we can sell this to Google, we can sell to this many people, because I have ready customer. That's what he said. And then that is actually the condition I gave to him. Okay, we can build this, but I don't want to worry about user, because that is actually in any startup, that is actually the cost, the money has to spend on acquiring the user. So when we did this in the first time, we already luckily have the user, because we got requests from the Ministry of Education, actually, yeah, saying they want something like that for the teachers to centralize the knowledge. So from there, that's how, of course, we charge them different way. So having MOE to validate the idea from zero users to now we have about 26,000 teachers on the platform. That makes us sort of like think, hey, you know, if MOE wants to use it, maybe other community wants to use it. So we start slowly like that. And then now we onboard units, you know, going to onboard UNICEF. And then recently we onboard an organization called Lead Women. So these are the sort of like professionals who's be trained to become board members to the Bursa listed company.
Right.
So this just onboarded 100 users to Reka. So that's how I think it's all about. So we charge per user. And because we built it in a way that's very cost efficient and it's not expensive for people to come in and then to onboard their own community. And so, yeah, that's how we monetize by per user basis.
So the one with the MOE, this is the Lima, right? Yeah, the Lima. And it is also, so this is, okay, there's that. And then UNICEF is then the, I guess, the NGO that you're working with.
Yeah.
And you are also working with SMEs.
Yes.
If you can't mention name, like, why would they need it?
Okay. Maybe, Sean, you want to answer that?
Yeah. So as Mas mentioned, I run a company as well that I co-founded as well. And it's a Google Cloud Premier partner company. So as a Google Cloud Premier professional service partner, we have to keep up with knowledge. And a lot of the knowledge is found on Google, obviously, right? Because it's a Google product that we resell, which is Google Workspace and also Google Cloud Platform. So as an organization, our learning has to happen very quickly. And within ourselves, a small team of us, we have to keep up with knowledge. And we keep asking the same questions a lot. So we have a chat group and then someone will say, hey, you know, the customer is asking this, you know, what's the answer? And then someone will very quickly pull out. And because I've been long in the business, right, I'm almost like a walking encyclopedia. But I also find that I'm also lagging behind. You know.
Yeah.
Used to be I would know every link and I would just throw it to the team and say, here's the answer. Copy paste the thing. But you know, the team has grown and I can't make myself so available as an encyclopedia, you know, and I'm the bottleneck. So I say to myself that we need this record so that we can record all our commonly asked questions and answers. Some are internal, some are external. And so I believe every SME has this kind of request. You have some subject matter expert, right? That walking encyclopedia within the organization, he right. has all the answers. But his answers should all be recorded somewhere so that people can commonly find it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess, you know, growth plans, we'll discuss that in just a moment. I'm here with Maslita Mahasan and Sean Tay from Unoya talking about Reka. Stay tuned to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Breakfast for Masters, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Open for Business. Good morning, Frida Liu here, speaking to Maslita Mahasan and Sean Tay from Unoya. They're a startup based in Malaysia, but they built a platform called Reka, R-E-C-Q-A, which stands for Recorded Question and Answer, which is a ready use platform for knowledge sharing. So your product is very B2B. Does it apply for B2C so that I can stop putting things in my draft folder?
Well, there's an idea for that in the future, but right. we feel that when it comes to knowledge sharing, it has to be within a community that it makes it more interesting. That's why we go to B2B. Like, and then like Sean mentioned just now, normally within a community, you will have the experts. And the reason why you be in a group, because you want the trusted answer from your community. Right. So, like if Sean is an expert in Google, then I don't have to ask anybody else, right? I just want him to answer that whatever he said, I just believe it because then he's the expert, even right. though if he says something like rubbish or whatever. So having a community for us is also going via B2B is also a business strategy of how to acquire more users, because what we provide is a platform for the community to administer themselves and to grow themselves. We do not kind of like promote in a sense. So mm-hmm. in fact, like the MOE case, Reka, we actually rebranded to become Ruang Ilmu on the Lima. So the teachers onboard themselves, they share their own knowledge. MOE does not sort of like force them to say, hey, you know, you have to share all your material that you have from your YouTube channel and whatnot. These are the people who are willingly openly sharing. So it's such a good, for me, a good effort, and we are very proud to be part of it and to know that with the platform, we are helping a community to grow. We are helping a community to learn and to empower and enrich themselves. Mm-hmm. So imagine being a teacher, let's say you are just you know, graduated from a teacher school, not having that many resources to start for your teaching and also learning. So you can just straight away go to Ruang Ilmu. There's thousands of resources for you to search and use readily for your class, especially now in the pandemic, right? Everybody has to do the YouTube video la, content la. So some people probably a bit shy, not into that kind of thing, but having Ruang Ilmu makes it easy for them to just go and reuse the resource, the knowledge for their own use. Yeah.
So did you see consumer behavior change, and actually because of the pandemic?
Yes.
Right? Reka is like heaven sent.
Yes. We would like to think so. Like the thing was, I know some businesses are suffering because of the pandemic. We are one of the lucky ones that actually thriving because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we started Ruang Ilmu, we started with zero. But as soon as MC Ho hits, actually our traction went more like over the road, more than 300%, because people are scouring the web. People are looking for content. And the same as now, right? Like everybody is distributed, like Sean says. People have questions, you can't just go to turn to the next person next to you and ask for something like, you know, before the pandemic. So where do you go? Go to a place where, like Reka, that you can find all these answers and ask questions. And I think the key here is preservation of knowledge. Because you can keep asking, like Sean said, like you can keep asking questions in WhatsApp and whatnot, but it's the preservation knowledge. Because imagine if you leave a leave an organization, or you exited a WhatsApp group, or you delete all your chats because your phone already so heavy with all this, right? Yeah. So all this knowledge are gone. So we really emphasize on the word preservation of knowledge. So then the next people who comes in into the group, the next people who comes in into the organization has a place to refer to quickly onboard themselves with whatever that they want to do.
Right.
And I think to your question, Freda, is this made for individuals? We believe that in sometime in the future, we have a vision of it for individuals.
Right.
But I think for growth strategy and for the business model, it has to be built for communities. And also people, we find that Malaysians are not, as what we've seen with Rang Ilmu, Malaysians are not greedy with, they're not selfish with knowledge. People like to share. So that social element is actually our fuel for growth, actually. Mm. And people like to maybe show themselves, you know, and share knowledge.
I think like talking about just now about people are not selfish, because actually when we first started, people saying, are you sure? People want to share knowledge, is it? Like Asian people are so kiasu, you know, whatever, they also want to keep within themselves, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's of course, that's the sort of like concern in the first place. But with Ruang Ilmu, we managed to prove that people do want to share. People right. want to showcase themselves to others that, hey, you know, I have all this content. And
within their community.
Within the community. Okay, I went to your website, right, and I saw things like mentoring, e-booking, simple e-card for content monetization, and white label adoption, right? What are these? How do they work?
Okay. All right. For the mentor, like we said, certain platform, I think actually most of our users, they, like Sean said just now, there's experts within that community. So like Lead Woman, they are training, all these stuff like future leaders, future board members. So they can appoint, how to say, Reka, they can appoint their own sort of like expert and mentor. So these members can then book an appointment or mm-hmm. ask questions to the mentors. Yeah, so it's like because that Reka belongs to you, you know who are the mentors, who are the experts. You can sort of like define everything yourself. You don't have to come back to Unoya to say, hey, can you please set up all these people as expert? You don't. And everything can be easily done. And to talk about the monetized content is because, as we are saying, some experts, they have all this really, how to say, very specialized knowledge. And these people are also people who, in a way, sell knowledge outside when they are invited to become a speaker or have an ebook and whatnot. So Reka actually allow you to do that. If you have a knowledge or content to sell to your member or others, you can do that on platform. And that is happening with one of our user base, which is called Sentuh Skill. They are a wellness platform. So what they do is that they train their members to become a masseuse and therapist and whatnot. So now they say, okay, what if we can extend this outside? Why can't we then use the same module and sell it for other people to become masseuse and therapist? Because the knowledge is already there, right?
And so it's just to teach that skill virtually, yeah.
Well, that's what
that has to happen now.
Yeah, because if you cannot, businesses can't operate. So what are the things that I think businesses also like Sentuh is pivoting in a sense that for their survival in the tent. So we are helping them to do so. So that's one thing that we are doing for the community. When you showcase yourself, it's like macam, okay lah, you take 10 free things from me, but I want to charge the next 5 things because I already have that user base within the community who likes all the knowledge that I share. So from the business point of view, it gives us that extra revenue channel because we do charge from the transactional fee for whatever transaction that happens.
Right. Because I also sort of see like how you guys in the future, how this would be even a competitor to the likes of Teachable or Udemy, right? In a way, right? Yes. So that sort of, it sort of merges in that sense, right? So Okay, so I guess to set this up, right, how much was it to set up? Are you looking for investors? And I guess if you were looking for investors, what would be the growth plans? Regional, is that it?
Okay, Sean, maybe you answer that.
Okay. Yes, we are looking for investors. I think the key here is we want to be thinking global from day one. And that's why we are working with very large organizations. So right now we are okay. We're still working towards making this very much software as a service. Mm-hmm. So onboarding will be very easy. You just go to our website, you click, and then it immediately provisions your what we call your tenant. And then from there on, you then just subscribe to us based on the number of users. And then you onboard your members into. So think of it as a, for easy reference, think of it as a very close Facebook group.
Okay.
Yeah. So then you can start your own community and your space that way. So for us, I think we are very passionate about education. So we tend to be now very focused with the groups that are very much championing education, like UNICEF for children and so on, for the refugees and so on. So that's our focus. But of course, we are not leaving aside the SME. And that's why we're building this to be very easy onboarding so that when SME sees the value, they can just click subscribe and onboard themselves.
Right. In terms of the expansion also, the one of our go-to-market strategy, like Sean said, is to work with large organizations like UNICEF. So I think referring to your question just now about white label, in a sense, for UNICEF, we are white labeling Reka to become World School Project. So right. If you have a large enough user base, we can help set up for you and sort of like say, okay, this is your community, this is your Reka, you can use your own name. So, which is like what Ruang Ilmu, MOE is doing, and the MOE is doing. And then we also, because Sean is a Google partner, so the expansion plan regionally is to go with Google because, like you know, lah, now with the pandemic, everyone is at home, you know, having to do online classes, and Google themselves are very huge in this department where they are pushing their Google Edu for Google for Education, and we are sort of like part of that plan for them to, we hope, and we are working very hard towards that, meaning that whenever Google deploy a large Google Edu, Google for Education in another country, like what they do in Malaysia, we want to be part of that. Because they've seen what we have done with MOE and whatnot. So part of the strategy now is actually to make sure our product works well with Google products
right.
as well. So, yeah.
And I know that Google has been, you know, talking about this for the longest time, right? So it's almost like if they planned the pandemic.
Oh, dear.
Okay, jokes aside. Now, I heard about you guys from Scale Up, right? Scale Up Malaysia. How are you, you know, working with them or connecting with them?
Fantastic. Like, we both were actually from Scale Up was sort of the program to scale. But before that, we were actually with Proficio for another program. I was with
Coaching Grow.
Yeah. And then, won awards. And I have Renaud, Dr. Siva, they're fantastic people. And then Aaron. And then managed to persuade Sean to go into the Coach and Grow program, you know, also. So later, when we have this idea, and actually, Renuka herself is quite a champion for us, and we're really grateful, and also Dr. Siva. When we first started, I actually approached Renu to say, hey, you know, I'm building this platform with Sean. Would you like to be one of our early adopters? Because being in the program, Coach and Grow, being then put in a WhatsApp group, and then later when you finish your cohort, you are kicked out, yes?
Yes.
So all those knowledge are gone. So so it's the same thing. So I was like, delicate, look. So I say, it's so sayang lah, like all this knowledge, and because I'm no longer in the group, I couldn't get on board, you know, everything's gone. I cannot talk to you or whoever. And then, would you like to try our platform? So that's how it started. And then from there, Renault was like, hey guys, you should apply to Scale Up. You know, this is a good product. We feel that you can grow much faster. Yeah. We give you mentoring and whatnot. And they have been really, really helpful and really helping us to be laser focused. And, you know, because like Sean said, while we are also targeting the SME, because that's what we begin with, but later realizing that education is more sexy in a sense. And that's where our big user base is, starting with MOE and then now with SentoScale, with UNICEF and whatnot. So they make us see that, you know, that's where you should focus, and we're very grateful. Sean, if you want to add anything.
No, I think you said it very much.
All the best, guys. I enjoyed this conversation very much. I was speaking to Maslita Mahasad and Sean Tay from Unoya. Of course, we've been talking about their platform, Eureka. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.